The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Coming to you live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Dolan Show with Sam Platts, Diana Hong, and Kareem Daniels there. And now, a man who does things because he can. Here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. It's Friday.
Woo!
Yeah.
It's Friday.
TGIF.
Every time I hear that, I just think of Rebecca Black.
Oh, God.
So you're the one.
Please. I don't play it.
Please don't.
I won't. No worries. Hey, coming up on the show today, I don't have any small town news. I'm sorry. I might find some in the middle of the show. We'll see.
Yay.
Maybe.
We'll see. Please, no more small town news.
You settle down. we'll tell you about the guy who blames Black Jesus. That's in Florida Corner. I know that's shocking. Going to talk about some violent women, Rick Ross's new tattoo, and why kids are assholes. All of those things coming up on the show today. Friday.
I refuse to call that guy Rick Ross. His name is William something.
we'll talk about that in a little bit. But first, Kareem, let's talk a little bit about your project that you got going on, the Chillin' Circuit.
Yeah, so in case you missed it, you missed it. It was last week's news and review. I did a great interview in there with Becca.
Nice. Yes, that was posted on Facebook. You can find that. You can go back and find that.
You can go back and find that. So I did 15 minutes.
Did we put that? Let me see if I
put it on there.
I think you did.
I posted it on the site.
Yeah, on our Facebook page.
Yeah, go read it. It was excellent. I am amazing.
Nailed it.
But it's not. It wasn't a one-off. It wasn't just the one-time deal.
Right. So I'm working with an artist named Milton Bowens and his manager Angela Mays, in conjunction with Barb, who owns the Brick House Art Gallery, and we put on the Chitlin' Circuit, which is the Chitlin' Circuit art exhibit, which features Milton's work and the work of three young ladies who he mentors. And so all of the art is geared towards Black artists who came out of the Chitlin' Circuit. And so for people like Sam, who's looking at me like, what the fuck
is
the Chitlin' Circuit?
I was about to ask, and then I knew I was going to make an ass of myself. Well, what's the Chitlin' Circuit?
I was waiting for Sam to do it before I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
at first I thought this was an art exhibit with people under the age of 9.
Yeah, no.
The children's Chitlin'.
So there's a lot of people that don't know what the Chitlin' Circuit is. But the Chitlin' Circuit was... really, it was just Black clubs, but there was a guy who was the owner of the Chicago Defender who had enough circulation where he knew where the Black clubs were around the country. So he set up the circuit so he could tell people, okay, you can tour in this, you can play in this club in this town. So he connected the bookers. So you got a lot of people that came out of the Chitlin' Circuit. Like, pretty much everything that America loves about this entertainment came out of the Chitlin' Circuit.
Dope.
Rock and roll, rhythm and blues, the blues, Richard Pryor, Flip Wilson, Elvis, what was his name? Jerry Lee Lewis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like all of that came out of the Chitlin' Circuit. And
is this a still active chain of clubs and whatnot?
It's not there's not necessarily an active chain of clubs like that, but yeah, it's still kind of active. Like Tyler Perry came. Mm-hmm. Tyler Perry took that model and
he's connecting other artists and such.
Yeah, so what he did was he took like he went to like different Black communities, like mostly to like Black churches, and he came in for the weekend and put on plays. So he was a millionaire before he ever got a movie deal, just from doing plays around the country. And then like Russell Simmons, Def Comedy Jam, that would be considered like a Chitlin' Circuit venue.
Okay.
The Apollo Theater.
Mm-hmm.
The Cotton Club wasn't, because it was actually Cotton Club was actually a white club. A lot of people mistake that.
Right.
It was a white club that only the Black musicians could play in it, but Black people couldn't go to the club.
Interesting.
And even the Black people that worked there and the musicians, they all had to enter in the back. Yeah. So... yeah, so we're paying homage to that. We're trying to take back the narrative about
pop culture
effective. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then
sounds awesome.
All the entrepreneurs that came out of the Chitlin Circuit.
Yeah.
So like even when nobody else had money during like World War II or during the Depression, like there was still money circulating in the black community because it was money that was circulating with in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they had baseball teams and whatnot. So like the Negro League, that would be like Chitlin Circuit.
Right.
A Chitlin Circuit kind of thing.
Okay.
Which, you know, and a lot of Satchel Paige,
Jackie Robinson,
they came out of there. And arguably the greatest hitter of all times, Josh Gibson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there was another gentleman that Honus Wagner said was the best baseball player he ever saw who was a black player in the Negro League. But I can't remember his name. But I learned that when I went to the Negro League Museum in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where's this being exhibited one more time?
It's at the Brick House Art Gallery at 36th and Broadway. So we're doing music. We're doing poetry. We're doing two nights of comedy on the 16th and the 30th.
So tonight, the show drops on Friday the 16th. Tonight, what time?
At 7 o'clock, we'll be showing Why We Laugh. It's a documentary on black humor. And then Lance Wood and Regina Givens will be performing. And then on the 30th, it'll be Trenton Davis and D. Tyler. And then we're showing old movies on Thursday nights. And then we're going to have Art Talk on the 31st, which will feature me and Milton Bowen. And then the girls will be doing an Art Talk tomorrow.
Okay.
And then next Saturday, I'll be hosting a panel discussion, moderating a panel discussion on the state of black entertainment.
That's on the 24th.
Well, this sounds fucking awesome. It's not like a lot of exhibits, it's the same thing every day, and you've seen it one time, you've seen it. It sounds like you can go every fucking day and get a whole new experience.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
And this is a whole experience. This isn't a drop in for 10 minutes sort of thing.
Right. Yeah.
Because that's why I asked you. Because I was sick last week. So when I messaged you, because I knew it was from 3 to 6, but I'm like, is it from 3 to 6, or is it something that you can drop into for
anywhere between those hours?
Is it between 3 and 6, or is it from 3 to 6?
It was from 3 to 6.
Yeah.
Like, let me see. Angela kicked it off. I talked for a few minutes, and Milton talked for a few minutes, and then Mama Laura did poetry, and then Mouthpiece sang, and just, man, like we had ended up with people standing outside watching.
Nice.
Yeah. Even the hipsters from the Oak Park Brewing Company came over to catch it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Bringing folks together.
It's interesting the change that Oak Park has undergone over the past, I've been in Sacramento almost 8 years now.
Yeah.
The difference between Oak Park 8 years ago and Oak Park today is crazy.
Yeah. And you got white women walking their dogs.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. Black people, enjoy your time while it lasts. You're on your way out.
You're going to be bumping some Mexicans further south soon.
Exactly.
Something like that's going to go on. So that's very cool. That's the next 3 weekends.
That's it.
At the Brick House
Art
Gallery.
If you have anything to do, come by. We have plenty of shit going on.
Is there a website where...
You can, we have a Facebook page. I should have did a page, but it's an event.
Okay.
Chitlin Circuit Art Exhibit. And then you can go to the Brick House Art Gallery, which is, I think, is www.brickhouse.net. And it has the whole schedule of events up there.
Cool. I'm looking that up right now.
So it's going through the end of January.
Through the end, January 31st, last day.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So nice lead into Black History Month.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so let me ask you this, as ignorant white guy, what is the significance of Black History Month in terms of you, the average African American?
Well, it's because when white people wrote history, they wrote us out of history. So it was kind of like, oh, you were slaves and you didn't do anything else. But like we did a lot of shit before we got here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we were kidnapped. Like the richest man in the world was Mansa Musa, who was African. But, you know, you don't learn that in history books here. Mm-hmm. The only people you ever saw in history books in school was Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Frederick Douglass and Booker T. Washington.
Right.
Yeah. Those are the ones that I know.
And you don't learn anything else about it. So the importance of it is to teach people that, hey, guess what? You did more than be slaves.
I think this is a cool thing to have been brought up, because I've known of and acknowledged Black History Month for the number of years it's been happening, but no one has ever told me any of the new history that I didn't know about. So that's something that I feel should probably be more loudly made known.
The problem with any history class in school, and I liked history in school. That was one of the subjects that I enjoyed.
Me too.
There was so much left out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like,
history is written by those who win the wars.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When history is written by the victors.
Yeah.
But in high school we had world history. And world history, freshman and sophomore years in high school, the full years. And when I got to college, we had Western civilization.
Yeah.
And it was everything from world history. The first year was in one semester. And so it was just like concentrating everything down in again. Yeah. But there wasn't anything new.
Yeah.
There was no expansion on why stuff happened.
And even like Spain and France were a part of settling this country, but you don't really learn anything about their history or their history here.
Right.
Like the Spanish had monks in Mexico City that had wrote a ton of stuff about the Spanish history of the country.
Right.
But you don't learn half of that shit. And you learn only a small part of that.
We know that they're conquistadores and that's it.
That's about it.
They touched ground and that's all they're going to tell us.
That's all they're going to tell you.
Why does your voice turn gay like that?
Just, it's so fun to talk like that. Why does the way I talk have to do anything with where I like to stick my dick?
I like want you to like teach history in that voice.
Okay.
We'll do that on a later episode. Continue, Kareem.
But, So the first European to explore the Southwest was an African, a Moor named Esteban, and him and his master got shipwrecked off the coast of Florida, and they made their way across the bottom half of the United States to Mexico City, and he ended up being killed by the Zuni Pueblo because one of the things
gangster.
Because they're gangster,
yeah,
because. The Indians thought he was a medicine man because he was as dark as he was.
Yeah.
And so, but one of the tribes gave him a rattle, which got him in with a ton of other tribes.
It's like a secret handshake. Here's the rattle.
But the Zuni were enemies of the tribe that gave him the rattle.
Oh, no.
And so,
they didn't tell him that bit.
Somebody told him, don't go there. And he went there. And so he ended up being murdered by them.
That's too bad.
But there is a Kachina doll and dance based off of him in the culture, like the Pueblo.
Really?
Yeah. I have two of them.
So that's their own way of maintaining the history is with this doll and dance.
So one of the things the United States government did was ban the dances. And so on the Indian reservations. But they have a doll and a dance based off of Esteban.
That's cool.
And like I said, I know because I got two of them.
Dope.
And I actually have one that was made on a Zuni reservation. Mm-hmm. So that's a story that you never hear. You never hear that a quarter of the cowboys were black.
Yeah. I'd like to ask an
important
question.
I learned most of my history from Blazing Saddles, to be honest.
He rode a Blazing Saddle. Kareem, would you be able to educate myself and any listeners? What would be a good resource to find some of these stories? Is there a particular website or maybe some person?
A great movie that I like to, a documentary that I like to watch is a movie called A Great and Mighty Walk. And it's by a professor named Dr. John Henry Clark.
Okay.
And he talks about, he was a student of Sheikh Anta Diop, who actually taught about African history before slavery. And you find out a ton of shit that you never knew. Like
A Mighty Walk? A great and mighty walk.
Yeah.
Looking it up.
It was actually produced by Wesley Snipes.
And before jail?
Before jail. He narrates it.
Nice.
Cool. So let's do this.
He talked about Black Jesus, too.
So let's do this. Let's plan in February.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you a little bit of time to plan ahead.
Get a little actual black history.
To Let's every show in February, let's do like one little history factoid that people might not know.
Okay.
For Black History Month. And I know this is a lot to ask. Let's get also one movie or documentary that people might watch that might, if people want to learn more about something. So we'll incorporate that all in.
Starting with The Great and Mighty
Walk.
We'll
do that.
So we'll do that in February.
One of the things that he always says is if you want to learn about the history of your people first, learn European history, and then you can fill in the blanks.
Nice.
Because one of the things that they do tell you is one of the things that happens with American history is they'll tell you people's names, but they won't describe the people.
Right.
But then you'll find out later, oh, that dude was black. Like Clint Eastwood's Hang 'Em High.
Mm-hmm.
You ever seen that?
Uh-uh.
It's been a while.
So the guy who that character is made based off of, and actually the Lone Ranger is based off of this guy too, was a black deputy marshal named Bass Reeves, who was a deputy U.S. deputy marshal in the Indian Territory before it became a state. And so, but you read about those people and they're like, or they would show them in old movies, but they would always be white guys. And you'd be like, oh. And then later you find out, wait, that was a brother. It's like, oh, damn. So if you learn about, you learn the history,
yeah,
and you hear the names, and then once you can put
fill in the blank,
fill in the blank, oh, like, oh, that was actually that dude.
Yeah,
there right. You go. All right, on to less serious. Well, this is kind of serious. Wrestling star Jeff Hardy got knocked out cold. He was in a cage match, and he did this thing where he was on the door of the cage, and he fell. It didn't go quite as planned. Let's see if you can hear where things went awry.
Ooh.
That was his head hitting the steel stairs.
Yeah, that didn't sound
steel
good at all.
Stairs.
The steel stairs in
I
the corner.
I can't believe he's still wrestling. Isn't he like 75?
No, he's not. He's actually, about 40.
He gotta be.
But yeah, he's damn. Still wrestling for TNA. TNA. Total, anyway, whatever.
Oh, I almost gave a WWE diva a massage Saturday.
Oh, which one? Because they were in town, yeah.
Trinity. What happened to Omos?
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, she's on the show Total Divas.
Yes.
She is a sexy lady.
I did not get to see her. I went to get food.
Oh.
And by the time I got back, they had told her that we didn't have time.
I
would have pushed back my time of getting to the Chitlin Circuit to give her a massage.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
They
should
have known better.
Yeah, there it is.
You gotta put like an asterisk next to like.
They owe you.
I was like, why didn't you call me? She's like, well, we only had like 15 minutes. I was like, I would have made time at the end of the day. We would have worked it out.
Yeah.
We would have worked it out.
Yeah. Well, that's a bummer. So hopefully he's okay. Godspeed, Jeff Hardy, in your head.
It's not like he got anything left up there anyway. All those dives him and his brother used to do off the top of the cage.
It's true. And the drugs.
And the drugs, yeah.
Speaking of drugs, Tara Reid has a million reasons to rip off her clothes and have sex with a stranger because a porn site liked her Instagram photo. See,
age did not do her well. Or is it drugs?
It's plastic surgery.
Even worse.
Because I still think Tara Reid is kind of cute, and I feel bad for her because, I mean, there's the shot, Sam. You can look at that's her in a hammock, and you know she looks okay. I mean, she looks fine, but she's 39 now, and according to the offer, GameLink.com, which is an on-demand porn site, was so impressed by the sexy nude pic that she posted that it's ponying up $1 million for her to, as they put it, showcase her beauty and talent by having sex on film.
Wow. You mean to tell me that Sharknado didn't make her $1 billion?
You know, the first one did not. You would think she would have made a little bit more from Sharknado 2. There is going to be a 3.
Oh, damn.
Okay, she's set then.
Yeah, I don't know if she's set. But, yeah. That's not a bad offer for a 39-year-old lady. So we'll see.
She's 39?
She's 39.
Damn.
Time flies, Diana.
It does. Time I used flies. To have the biggest crush on her, and then I saw her like recently because I heard she was an SF, and I looked at her Instagram, and she didn't stay cute.
Well, she had some bad plastic surgery.
I feel bad. But then again, like she wasn't the greatest actress either. Wasn't she a bitch for a little bit?
I don't know. I don't know her.
Huh.
But either way, by the way, I've said this before and I'll say it again. Little kids are assholes.
Yes, they are.
And we now have conclusive proof from a group of fourth graders.
Tonight at 5:30, a disturbing plan by some young kids at a local elementary school has shocked the small town of Elba in Genesee County. The group of fourth graders were reportedly plotting to kill their teacher. Fourth grade.
What the fuck?
TWINIA SIDE'S Erica Brecker tells us how officials say the students had planned to carry out their plan and what possible punishment they will face.
According to the Genesee County Sheriff's Department incident report, three fourth graders, all between 9 and 10 years old, were upset with their teacher. The students knew their teacher is highly allergic to antibacterial hand sanitizer, and they knew it's banned from the classroom, so the three children were allegedly going to sneak it in. The report says the suspects made comments to other students that they were going to kill the teacher by putting antibacterial products around the classroom.
There was a discussion between some of the students involved, and there were also students who were not involved in that discussion who overheard it.
At least one of those students told their mother, who happens to be a school board member. That mother went to the school administration, and the district contacted the sheriff's department for guidance.
Well, I think the school took it very seriously. That's why we were contacted initially.
Two youth officers interviewed the students involved. One of them said that the teacher yells at us and that the class has problems with her. The youth officer's report also states they were informed that this particular class has trouble getting along and that one student said bullying is an issue. Elba District Superintendent Jerome Pico couldn't address specifics but wrote in a press release today, the district does not condone any of the behaviors that have been reported and is in the process of working alongside.
It's good to know the district does not approve of murder.
This incident as a vehicle for educating the district students regarding appropriate behaviors.
Ultimately, the school elected to handle it themselves.
Murder is not appropriate.
And that was where the sheriff's office left it.
That means taking action or punishment is left up to the school district.
Although there was some discussion about doing this, it had never actually happened. It never carried through with it.
Brewster says the sheriff's department could not file criminal charges. Juvenile laws require that kids under 16 have to actually commit a misdemeanor or felony to face charges.
So there you go.
I blame the parents, though. What? I bet their parents are divas who think everything should be handed to them, and they can't handle anyone talking down at them. Bitch, you yell at me, I'm going to split your throat. I'm going to drown your poodle.
Yeah. I'm glad you. That they, like, said something because and they took it seriously because that's, like, scary. It's, like, antibacterial. Like, that's something that kids are like have easy access to.
Yeah.
And they go, wow, that's not fourth grade. I feel like at that age,
Nine and 10-year-olds. 9 and 10-year-olds.
God, they are malicious. Like, I was a little shit back then, but I don't think I ever threatened to kill anyone.
Well, here's the thing.
They'd beat them up, but not kill.
If you did, and word got back to your parents, they would put a hurting on you.
Oh, yeah.
And now the question is always like, what did you do to my child that would cause them to behave this way?
Exactly.
No,
you're a terrible teacher trying to keep order in a classroom full of idiots.
Your child is a fuckhead.
Your child is a fuckhead. Is an anti-social. What do you call those people?
Anti-establishmentarianism. Do you say vegetarianism?
They're vegetarians.
I think they're full-on vegans. They're that bad.
They're that bad.
That's the ones that like kill puppies and shit eventually.
Vegans, yes, they're horrible.
Vegans kill puppies.
That's puppies.
That's true for their skins. They wear them as hats.
And use the furs and the inner lining of their
boots. Maybe I'm misunderstanding what vegans are all about.
That's so scary, though.
I know.
They're just getting worse.
They are. You know who else is getting worse?
But again, it's the parents. Man.
Rick Ross is getting worse, too. Here's an example of some poor parenting. he got a bunch of face tattoos.
That guy's name
worked
is
for Mike
not
Tyson.
Rick Ross.
I know. He stole it. But he's got... No, Mike Tyson has one big facial piece that he regrets. Rick Ross has a Miami Heat logo just above his eye. Yeah, and he's got three little crosses below an eye. And he's got what I believe is the Washington Nationals logo on one side of his face. So there
he's
you go.
Literally a living billboard.
My heart hurts for society.
Why, the murderous children or Rick Ross
both,
and his face tattoos?
Both. This is like who those like nine and ten year olds like look up to. That's like those in particular, but like
probably not.
Yeah, but like there's kids in general or like even some adults, like young adults. I'm not gonna call them young adults. Some dumbasses that look up to him.
Yeah.
And like, oh my goodness, I just rap. Like I'm not. It's not rap. He's not a rapper. He's not anyone to like look up to.
William Roberts is not. Someone to look up to.
No, but they William Roberts, credits for that.
Billy Bob? You mean Billy Bob?
William Roberts is a corrections officer. Or former corrections officer.
Sure. It's true.
That's who William Roberts
That's
is.
That's a fun fact.
And he essentially stole...
His name is not Rick Ross.
He'd find all these thugs writing on their napkins. He'd steal their rhymes.
No, he stole a person's identity.
Yeah.
There's a person named Rick Ross.
Oh, yeah.
Freeway Rick Ross, who was a crack dealer.
Didn't he lose that case, too?
Yeah.
That's some bullshit. How do you lose that fucking case?
Like how does this person get to walk around and be me?
That's such bullshit. I can't believe he lost that case.
And get paid off of that.
Now he's got face tattoos.
Yes,
the most, like, probably, like... tough shit he's ever done is get a face tattoo because that shit hurts.
Well, maybe Bill Cosby put some roofies in his drink and did the tattoos himself.
Oh my god,
because he
like
hates
the hangover.
Him.
Now William has face tattoos.
Yeah,
William has face tattoos to show people that he's hard because everybody knows that he wasn't a drug dealer or a thug.
God.
It's hella gangster. Have Miami Heat on your forehead.
It's actually on his temple. It's like right here on his temple.
Yes, William.
William Roberts, thank you for
William
that.
William Roberts wants to be hard.
Speaking of hard, if your dick is smaller than a pop star's leg, then condoms fit you. It's a true fact. Because
whose dick is larger than a pop star's leg?
I don't know.
And which pop star? Some have large legs.
Every other black guy, just ask them. 17-year-old Swedish pop star. Zara Larsson, formerly best known as Sweden's Got Talent winner, is now primarily known as the woman who wore a condom like a stocking to call out men who claim that they're too big to wear one.
Oh, that was cool of her.
And
nice.
She rolled it out.
I
want to
know what fucking condom she got.
Well, you know, it's probably pretty tight on her leg.
Looks like if it was on there for much longer, either her leg will lose all circulation or the condom will rip.
Oh,
so.
the condom's going to rip soon on that one. But
yeah, because I have torn plenty back in my day.
Here we go. Well, they're not.
And it wasn't because there was, well, it partly was because of that, but they weren't that stable where you could just pull it up over your legs. I don't know.
Yeah. So anyway, they do come in various sizes too now. So they make the bigger magnums, and then they actually make smaller ones for Asian guys. I'm not kidding about that.
Yeah.
So
shit, you ever had one of those? Oh, fuck, it broke.
I've only had a condom break one time.
Like, fuck, I gotta wait 8 weeks.
One time. Although she wasn't setting out to be a feminist. She said it merely meant it as a funny joke. Since then, newspapers have been writing about what a feminist genius I am.
At least she's honest about it. God bless her.
I personally don't.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
I personally don't consider myself to be some kind of Holy Mary of feminism. She continues, pointing out that she's said some dumb shit of her own in the past and has benefited extensively from being a slim, attractive white girl. So
she's my new favorite now. That's awesome.
I have appreciation for this.
Yeah.
That's like sometimes like in class, like English class or something, and then the teachers or whoever gets really into the author's writing, I'm like, do you think they really thought about all of this when they wrote it? They just wrote it. Right?
Yeah.
And then we're all analyzing it. So that's the same. She's like, I was just trying to be funny. And then it just turned into this, oh my God, like, yay, woman power shit.
All right.
You represent an entire people group with your action.
Hold it down.
Hey, speaking of powerful women, in Argentina, tampons cost $30 a box if you can get them. Diana is now canceling her travel plans.
It just depends on what time of the month you're going there.
No, you don't want to wear depends. That's just overkill.
That's a lot of cotton.
It is. Argentina is known for a few things, like natural resources like iron ore and zinc, Madonna's portrayal of Eva Perón, government corruption. And since the country is having problems with the latter, in particular, crippling inflation that's caused the price of imports as a result No one wants to do business with that place, or won't, because it won't pay its bills. It's also having a problem keeping tampons in stock, which is both bizarre and no bueno for female residents, according to The Guardian. Speaking to reporters, the cabinet chief, Jorge Cabinetash, said there were no special restrictions on importing tampons, which he called sensitive products, and blamed the shortage on a commercial strategy by importers. Ah, yes, sensitive products, the kind that women use, that women like to wear, but also depend on for 3 to 7 days a month, depending on the regularity and all of that jazz. So the government's having none of it. They say people see the news, get alarmed, and then go and stock up. So it's all supply and demand, according to what they're saying. And it's nice to see the tampon manufacturers like Johnson & Johnson answering Mother Nature's call, committed to doing what they can while the country sorts through its dirty laundry. So, hey, if you, Diana, if you'd like to make some money, maybe you can start smuggling tampons to Argentina.
Who's paying for my flight to Argentina?
The tampons.
People will kill for those tampons. It's like Blood Diamond, but they're blood tampons.
Blood Diamond. That's gross.
Bloody Tampon, the movie, starring Leonardo DiCaprio.
I'll do that.
Well, there's the other option. I mean, maybe it's time for the Diva Cup to make a...
You could take four bags with you. Just take one for you, and then take three bags of tampons.
I've always wanted to visit Argentina.
There you go.
Don't cry for me.
Tell them at $5 a pop.
There you go. The Diva Cup, Sam looked puzzled. The Diva Cup
I was going to ask.
Is
that where the two chicks poop in a cup?
No.
Oh, is that what I think it is? Can I tell him?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think what it is, it's when it's the plastic tampon. You just shove the cup in and it collects all
in a nice
stuff.
Container that doesn't
and then
absorb
it's the washable
and smear.
One. It's really popular in Europe.
Flushable?
No, washable.
Okay.
So it's reusable.
Yeah.
It's more earth-friendly.
Yeah.
It is a reusable bell-shaped menstrual cup that's worn internally and sits low in the vaginal canal.
I don't know how that gets up there either, but whatever.
I'm guessing you pinch it in and shove it. Collecting rather than absorbing your menstrual flow, menstrual cups have existed since the 30s when women were searching for an alternative to the choices at that time. Yet its breakthrough into the feminine hygiene industry is much more recent. Many women feel uneasy about changing their menstrual care routine. Years of dealing with the sights and odors of disposable tampons and pads caused the familiar ick.
I know those sights and odors too well. I used to have to clean the bathrooms at Target. Sweet Jesus.
You know, it would be worse with the Diva Cup because they just fish it on out. Ah!
Every time I went in the women's bathroom, I heard the song from the Pocahontas Disney movie, Savages, Savages, Barely Even Human. And I'm having to dump all these. This woman menses all over the outside of the toilet. I don't know how that happened.
Ew.
I'm assuming that's what it was, blood.
Ew.
I told my boss, it's biohazard. I'm not touching. Moving on. Diva Cup, thank you.
This is stupid. I want to talk about vaginas.
Oh, wait, we were. I'm sorry. It's a terrible thing.
I think I'm scarred for everybody here, too.
Hey.
She's the only one that didn't say anything. And she's the only one with a vagina.
That's right.
Well, okay.
It's a sensitive product.
You guys, y'all have heard like people that have gotten like their red wings and shit like that?
I don't know.
Would you guys have sex with a girl that's on her period?
No. No, not in her vagina.
I think it'd be like more. It'd be more okay as a guy than a girl.
No, no, no. It is not.
Can the other two answer? Because they're trying to answer.
Well, I have not, but I think I'd like that one time.
I have done it.
Yeah.
Okay, I think as a guy it's not that big of a deal, but as a female, it'd be gross.
And then a couple
of my friends were like, they don't see what the big deal. I was like,
I did it one.
Maybe if I was married.
I did it one time with my first wife, and it was so traumatizing.
Yeah.
It was so traumatizing.
Was it the smell, the odor, or was it just the bloodiness?
And it felt different.
Okay.
It felt different. It was just everything. Mm. No, 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 no,
maybe
no.
Maybe she just had a wide set
no,
vagina and a heavy
no,
flow.
No, 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 no. And then she got up and ran to the bathroom to clean up and left me laying there on the bed, and I'm like, It was like one of those weird horror movies. Like I was in shock. It was terrible. No.
Take your unwanted uterine lining with you.
The crazy thing is that they get hornier during that time.
I know. That's the weird thing.
That's right.
They're super impulsive.
I will put it in your butt when you're on your period. I will let you suck my dick when you're on my period. On your period.
Wow, okay. What the
when
fuck?
I'm on my period.
But that orifice is closed for business. For me. Just saying. Not interested.
I wouldn't.
No.
Plenty of friends that have, and they don't see a problem with it, and I think it's weird. But then again, that's where I was also started thinking I might be asexual, because I have I draw a lot of lines, and that is one of them. I do not want my red wings, and I think that's gross.
Ew.
Now, I give it like a Kareem to say.
Well, you
ew.
Would, you get a like a milk mustache that's red.
Ah.
Strawberry milk.
Well,
mustache.
Strawberry milk.
Gross. Well, you know who has their red wings.
Yeah, that is gross.
I will say this.
I will not be drinking after Sam.
I have stimulated the outside near the clitoris while m'lady was
well, you
was
think
at that
you're just
time
being a fucking tease then?
No, not if you rub it until they come. Do you know nothing about women?
Oh, that's true. I guess it's like for me, I was just like, why would you do that if you're a guy? Like you, straight people, I don't understand. That means you just like
well,
starting to have sex.
This
but for
is something
girl,
I've
I was
learned.
That was different. Like I guess like my definition, like my whole perception of sex is like different for you guys.
Hmm. Yeah.
So that's
so.
Why I was kind of confused. I was like, well, why would you do that? But now I get it. If you're doing the same thing that I'm doing, that makes sense now. Yeah. Okay, see, yes. Now that makes sense.
We have the same agenda, which is to make her come.
Right. Well, that's no. Nice of you guys. I did
but
not know. That
some
was
women come.
Thank you.
Some women find more pleasure on the internal and some more on the external.
Yeah, but I'm not
exactly.
Going on the internal. There's a 3 to 7
and
day period.
So I was assuming if maybe
and
Diana was more
can.
Of an internal, and that's why it didn't work for her. She didn't understand. Yeah.
Diane, does it not work for you?
Y'all are not going to find out what works for you or not going to work for me.
They act. We decide. Cool or tool.
All right. First up in cool or tool. Tattoos on your face, Kareem.
Tool.
Tool.
Diana.
Tool.
Unless you're a Maori warrior.
Right.
Yeah, they're tool. Even Mike Tyson. And he'll admit it now. Up next in cool or tool, condoms, Sam.
Cool.
Diana?
Cool.
Kareem?
Cool.
Wear a fucking condom, you dullards.
I think condoms are cool, but I think dental dam is not cool.
No.
Can you go into dental dam, please?
It's basically a piece of saran wrap.
It's oversized Listerine. It's an oversized Listerine strip that you really just fold over your vagina like a napkin.
So that when you're licking her pussy, you never actually lick her pussy.
Okay. Okay.
That's what a dental dam is.
A dental dam.
Mark Sam's cup when he comes over.
And finally in cooler tool, tampons. Tampons, Diana?
I think they're cool.
Sam? I know you're traumatized.
I'm going to just say tool just for the hell of it because,
I'm gonna say
maybe
cool.
You should just let the blood flow. Maybe you just need to...
Like down your
mark
way?
Your household and stay out of public places.
Go off and live in the woods.
Go live in the woods where there are bears.
You're so fucked up.
Don't you know what attracts bears?
You're so fucked up.
That's sharks, man. That's sharks.
Oh, it's the sharks.
Bears, too. Kareem, what did you say? I'm sorry.
I said it's cool because I don't want to think what the alternative is.
Yeah.
What about the cup?
Yeah.
With the diva cup.
Oh, there's no. The pads.
At least you don't have little white, the crimson in the snow. You know what I'm saying? Sitting right next to the toilet.
Why
in that
is he
little
still
bin.
Talking? Can we just move on?
Move on!
All right. Enough of that. That's cooler tool. Hey, by the way, if you'd like to buy something from Amazon, you know, like a book so you can learn about things so you're not
like
just...
Like dental dam and periods.
Whatever you want to learn about.
You probably get dental dam on Amazon. I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm sure...
I looked it up and you can find the Great Walk... what's it called?
A Great and Mighty Walk.
A Great and Mighty Walk, but it's only on VHS.
Oh, well. It's got to be...
It's on YouTube.
It's got to be...
Okay,
yeah.
Even better.
You can find it somewhere. Go to Amazon.com, but don't just go straight there. give us a little bit. Go to our website first. It's NateDarlingShow.com. You're probably right there now listening to the show.
That's right. Rub the clit before you go in.
Exactly. It's that Shop Amazon tab right at the top. Ew. Just tickle it with your finger. It puts you right on Amazon.com. It doesn't cost you anything extra. It helps support the show, and we do appreciate it. So thank you very much. All right. Now, women are becoming a lot more like men lately in their mannerisms. And I don't know if it's a byproduct of equality or what it is, but this from Staten Island, New York, where a 17-year-old girl has reportedly hit a fellow student at South Richmond High with a metal stool after she got outraged because he farted near her.
She sounds like she must have been outraged.
She had to be.
The 15-year-old boy needed 8 stitches. 8.
What?
This is day 28 for her.
That's what it is. Well put.
17-year-old girl hits a boy with a stool for farting.
I mean,
her.
if the fart was on her, that calls for it. No one farts on another human. That's cruel. But farting near.
Farting on another human. At 15, farting on another human being is cool as fuck.
That's just called another day.
Crop dusting, it happens.
Yes. You didn't have brothers, did you?
I have a twin.
He shared a womb with a brother.
I came out of the same vagina.
Oh, okay.
Actually,
y'all are the same age. That might be what it is. Yeah, if you have an older brother, you've been farted on.
No, my sister used to punish me by sitting on my head and farting.
Okay, see, there you go.
3-year-old. No, that's what I'm saying. Farting on a human is not acceptable. Farting at a human, whatever.
Just because you got farted on.
I don't understand like how that makes her like a guy. Like, I think if she was a dude, she'd be more like whatever about it instead of fucking going after him with a chair.
It's like a butthole ripper, that one.
Well, what I'm saying is the urge to use physical violence to solve your problems is more of a male instinct than a female instinct.
I feel
instinct.
Like as a female, if you feel incredibly threatened, you don't know what else to do but do physical violence. Are you really just doing that while I'm talking?
It's a nice context to you saying feeling physically threatened and you hear a...
She did not feel physically threatened. Like, I've been chased down by girls for farting on them. Oh.
it's not like this kid was threatening her life with hand sanitizer,
right?
Like, just 4-year-old fuckers, but
just this,
that's it.
Farts are so funny. I don't get it. They're always
think they
funny
are.
You don't listen to this noise and find it humorous in the moment.
No.
All right.
No!
That's what she says.
Oh.
All right, let's move on. All right, here's proof that being a good husband and being nice
hilarious
gets you nowhere. A woman shot her husband, a soldier at Fort Bragg, in the chest after mistaking him for a home intruder. See, he'd come back into the house to bring her breakfast in bed.
Aww.
See, that's what happens when you try to be nice.
Yep.
So this is another woman lashing out in violence again. You're right, Nate.
Well, it's a little bit different. Anyway, police spokesman... said that Zia Siguli had left home on Friday morning, returned unannounced with a bag of breakfast food. His wife Tiffany had fallen back asleep. Now, according to the AP, she heard someone in the house, believed that it was an intruder, armed herself with a handgun, and shot through her bedroom door, hitting her husband in the chest.
She didn't even wait to see who it was.
No.
She didn't cry out, "Who was there?"
He was taken to Cape Fear Valley Medical Center and released later that same day. So we're not.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah, I'm not going to do this story if she shot him dead. Apparently.
So she didn't even. Baby, is that you?
No, none of that. Just boom.
Do I smell bacon?
ABC 11 in Fayetteville reports that Siguli declined to speak with the media when he returned home, but simply said, "I'm good.
I'm good. I'm never going to sleep with that bitch again, though."
He said, "I am taking that gun out of the house."
Yeah, you know what she does not have anymore? This. Yeah.
Nope. She lost her pussy whip.
That's right.
That is it. The gun is in the at the pawn shop right now.
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh, that was crazy. So again,
like, I'm putting the gun in the safe and you do not get the combination.
Don't let her have any katana samurai swords with throwing knives.
Oh my god, that would have been bad.
And take away her artificial legs.
That's it.
Wait, too soon?
Yeah.
Oscar Pistorius.
Pistorius, yeah.
But he shot and killed his girlfriend.
Oh, that's right.
Through the door. In the back. Anyway.
Yes. Yeah, so, yeah, she he took the gun and put it in the safe. He was like, you don't even get, like, if somebody comes in to kill you, you better learn how to fight because you don't get the gun no more. Your gun privileges have been revoked.
You got to at least, there's a protocol. You got to at least shout, you know.
Baby, is that you?
Say something.
Yeah. I know. Usually you, like.
Who's there? Wait until the door's open. There's as long as you got a good, you know, like 5 feet between you and the door.
There's you at the very least have to yell,
I've got a gun and I will shoot.
I've got a gun. I will shoot if you don't get out of the house now.
Yeah. And then you can.
And then he can go, baby, it's me.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's up?
Yeah.
And then you guys can laugh about it like, oh, I would have shot you.
Mike Fishy.
Yeah.
That sounds a little fishy. She might have been trying to get that. I think she was.
Yeah. And yeah.
One day.
It's all right. So it's time to move on to something. So anyway, in London, a British children's charity has unveiled an animated video aimed at educating kids about the dangers of sending salacious pictures. Sam, what's going on, Sam?
I just really have to pee and find out why there's cars honking outside.
Because there's a street?
I'm a multitasker.
Okay. Well, it's the they've unveiled the I Saw Your Willy, the animated video that wants to educate kids about sending pictures of their willies.
One day, Alex and Sam were mucking around on their phones.
They were mucking around on their phones. Yeah.
Then Sam had an idea.
I'll take a picture.
What if they sent a picture of Alex's willy to their friend Katie? You know, the kind that disappears in a few seconds. When Katie saw it, she thought it was very funny. So she screen grabbed the picture and sent it to her friends. And they sent it to theirs. And the next day at school...
I saw your willy!
I saw your willy!
I saw your willy!
Newsflash! The world sees Alex's willy.
Alex even got a message from a bully.
Your willy.
The message was, your willy is rubbish.
I like your willy. Can I show you mine?
Right, that's from the Predator.
From a man he didn't know. Sometimes children share things they shouldn't online.
What if he had the RJ Burke?
And the effects can be devastating. Help keep your child safe. Be share aware.
So he gets back in and you see this drawing of an old lady who gets this ding on her iPad and she looks up at him and's like, yeah, mom just got your willy.
I saw your willy.
I saw your willy. By the way, let's point that out in the video, and that worked out perfectly since he left, that it was Sam's idea.
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't see Sam's willy.
It was Sam's idea.
Watch out, Diana.
Your willy is rubbish.
Your willy is rubbish. All right. So it's time for Florida Corner. You see people with message T-shirts all the time, right? I'm wearing one with the Portland Timbers logo. Mine says, I like the Portland Timbers. Well, a gentleman in Florida wore a shirt that said, who needs drugs? No, seriously, I have drugs. Turns out he was arrested at Kmart and charged with possession of meth.
Wow.
The Tampa Bay Times obtained the arrest report. Mr. Ballmer was in line at a Kmart when an officer walked into the store. Ballmer then allegedly tried to dump the drugs he had on him. From the article, Ballmer saw the deputy and tried to hand a bag of a green leafy substance to the person behind him. According to the officers, that person declined to take the bag. Ballmer then allegedly walked to the cash register, put the baggie on the ground, and paid for his items. Another deputy approached. Store workers told him about the baggie. Deputies discovered it held marijuana and methamphetamine. Deputies also discovered he was wearing a shirt that read, who needs drugs? No, seriously, I have drugs. He was also apparently arrested in front of the big claw machines.
I love those things. I'm addicted to those.
Have you ever gotten anything out of one?
Oh, I'm a pro, dude. But the thing is, I will spend $20 to win a little stuffed animal I don't even want. I just want that sensation of winning. That's why I don't gamble.
Yeah, you had a problem, buddy. Yeah.
That definitely.
I acknowledge
like an
that.
Issue.
It's prone to addiction.
Oh. Yeah, it's bad times. Oh. All right, so we've heard about Black Jesus before, and he's catching some blame right now for handing out funny money as a Christmas gift. See, restaurant patrons caught trying to pay a bill with counterfeit currency told Florida police they apparently had received the fake paper as a Christmas gift from Black Jesus.
I don't understand what I don't understand.
After enjoying a January 1st seafood dinner at Long John Silver's.
That's a good joke right there. That's pure comedy.
A customer tried to pay the bill for his group's meal with a counterfeit bill, according to the police report. However, an alert cashier recognized the phony currency and called the cops. Now, when Deputy Sinclair Quezon arrived at the eatery around 9:15 p.m. and questioned the customers, they were cooperative and unaware of the authenticity of the currency. Now, during further questioning, they told Quezon that apparently the bill was given to them as a gift for Christmas from an individual known to them as Black Jesus. Seriously.
This is out of control.
The phony bill was seized by Quezon and booked into evidence. The Long John Silver's customers, who denied knowing that the bill was fake, were not charged in connection with the counterfeit currency. The restaurant tab apparently was settled with legal tender. A police report does not further describe the relationship between the diners and Black Jesus, or why Black Jesus was giving them cash for Christmas, nor does it offer a physical description of Black Jesus.
I'm done.
I don't even know. What the fuck?
And how much money were they spending at Long John?
Probably a 20.
You know, those hush puppies add up.
I don't know.
Called the cops. I worked at Target in the cash office. We would get counterfeit $100 bills. We called the cops. They'd say, "Deal with it." They didn't. When you get enough hundreds, we'll come collect them and send them to the FBI. I can't imagine Long John Silver's is going to get cops show up because you got a fucking counterfeit 20.
Well,
from Black Jesus. They probably came just to hear about that. Whatever.
I'm sorry.
Don't you know they came from miles and miles around to see Black Jesus?
That's what it is.
They brought in myrrh and frankincense.
It makes sense, you know. Loaves and fishes. You're at Long John Silver.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. We don't have any small town news for you, so we have one last thing before we go. I don't know how we're going to top Black Jesus, but we'll do our best. Black Jesus should be ashamed of himself, seriously. Because, I mean, one expects more of him. So, anyway. This is an interesting question. See, in Oregon, marijuana is going to become legal very soon. So the question was asked, what's going to happen to the pot-detecting dogs when that happens?
Police dogs that are trained to find pot could become a thing of the past in Oregon. Fox 12's Laura Rios is live to explain the impact legalizing marijuana could have on local law enforcement agencies. Laura?
Oh, my God.
Well, for many years, police dogs around Oregon have been trained to find pot in addition to other drugs. But Measure 91 has a lot of law enforcement agencies asking questions about the future of those dogs. Here in Clackamas County, they've been preparing for this possibility for the past couple of years.
I'd like to take back my vote. I didn't know it was going to affect them this
Spencer
way.
Is on the hunt. It doesn't take long for him to find almost an ounce of heroin hidden in these rocks. The canine is known as a three-odor dog, trained to find heroin, cocaine, and meth.
That's a good boy.
If he encounters pot,
he keeps walking. He doesn't have an association that marijuana means anything good to him.
A couple of years ago, the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office started replacing their retiring canines with dogs not trained to find pot, just in case Oregon voters legalized marijuana.
Well, we don't know if the Department of Justice is going to make a decision that you cannot use four-odor dogs anymore, or you can grandfather in a four-odor dog.
Now that Measure 91 goes into effect in July, law enforcement agencies around the state are grappling with what to do with canines who are trained to alert handlers to pot.
If you have a four-odor dog, you wouldn't be able to obtain that probable cause because there could be a legal agent being marijuana inside that vehicle that the dog's detecting. So a judge would not approve an affidavit based on that.
The detection chairman of the Oregon Police Canine Association says four-odor dogs are still useful because marijuana is still illegal in certain situations. But because it's tough to retrain a dog not to hit on marijuana, some agencies may choose to gradually phase the canines out, like Clackamas County, or reassign them to patrol. And others may make the potentially costly decision to replace them altogether.
The nice thing about being in the Portland metro area, there are a lot of trained canines up there, so there'll be a nice mixture of three and four odor dogs come July 1st that even if an agency doesn't have a three odor dog, they'll be able to call one of the other agencies.
And many of these law enforcement agencies are hoping the State Department of Justice will provide some guidance for them on this issue. I did reach out to the DOJ today, but they haven't responded to my requests for information. Live in Clackamas County, I'm Laura Rios, Fox 12 Oregon.
So there you go. Now you know what's going to happen.
Three-odor dog. Sounds like a one-trick pony to me.
Three-odor dog. All right. One more thing, because this is actually kind of cool. This happened at a Chick-fil-A, so good things do happen at a Chick-fil-A. And this went viral, too. A picture of a man needing and getting some help at a Chick-fil-A in Alabama.
From Black Jesus?
I believe he was White Jesus. The man came to the Highway 280 Chick-fil-A looking to work for food. But the owner, Mark Meadows, not a black guy, decided just to help him. He noticed the man needed more than just food. I said, well, you need gloves. He was hesitant about taking the gloves from me, and I said, you need to take the gloves. I can get some more. I had some sitting right here. I gave him my gloves, and then when I got him something to eat, that was pretty much it. But the story spread on social media after a customer, Andrea Stoker, posted a photo of Meadows and the man at Chick-fil-A's Facebook page. The photo has been shared more than 12,000 times and has received more than 66,000 likes. Most businesses would force him out, but I watched as the manager walked up to him and asked if he could do anything for him. Before the man could even answer, the manager asked if he had a pair of gloves and walked to the table at which he'd been sitting and picked up his own. As he handed the man his gloves, he asked another employee to get him something to eat. I'm amazed at what social media can do. All I did was the right thing. I mean, it wasn't that big a deal, but I did the right thing. That's what the owner said. Meadows will tell you it's because Chick-fil-A's reputation that this went viral. That may be true, but it was also because of Meadows' heart and the message to help the less fortunate. Meadows is the same Chick-fil-A owner who handed out hundreds of meals to people who were stranded in their cars on Highway 280 during last January snowstorm. So, how about that?
Nice little heartwarming.
That was nice
mama.
Little heartwarming.
And,
yes.
with something nice. Diana, how do you feel about that?
I don't have a heart.
You don't? None at all?
No. You're a tin man.
Mm-hmm. Tin lady.
I'm sure it sounded nice from you guys' reactions.
Yeah.
No. I need a little oil.
Were you phasing out?
Tin man.
No, I mean, I guess it's cool. It was just, I don't know. I think I'm so over, like, I don't have a heart. Like, it was nice. It's cool that something nice happened.
After Black Jesus was passing out counterfeit bills, I end with something nice.
I don't know. Black Jesus was really funny.
You get something like that. You know what's going on. All right. Remember, the Chitlin Circuit this weekend, next weekend,
and the weekend after that.
That's right.
The 31st of January.
At the Brick House Art Gallery.
At 36th and Broadway. It's across the street from the Oak Park Brewery.
Here in Sacramento. So if you're in town, you might want to check that out. New Well Hung podcast drops on Monday. So we've got something for that. Talk about a new show on Lifetime that I'm watching.
That I'm going to binge watch when I get home.
Uh-oh.
Big Women, Big Love, Sam.
Okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
If you thought the title was good.
Is not my husband's not gay?
Oh, is that on Lifetime too?
I have no idea.
I need to watch that.
Oh, no, it's we're making kettle corn, eating bonbons, and putting our comfy socks. You and Kareem?
No.
It's just so much better than that pink shirt.
It's salmon.
Oh, yeah, I fucked up.
All right, well, since you have that attitude beforehand, I selected this music for you as we go out. It's a
little CeeLo Green.
CeeLo Green is as wide as he is tall, right?
Yeah.
Basically, he's a bowling ball.
Yeah.
So enjoy that. Everybody have a safe weekend. Do not drink and drive, you jerks. And be nice to each other. Try it for a couple days. See how it goes. If you don't like it, you can always go back to being an asshole, right?
That's right.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Your ass right now. so bad. I tried to